From SGI USA, I'm Cassidy Bradford, and this is Buddhability, the weekly series where I talk with Buddhists from all walks of life about the power we each have to change our lives and the world around us. Growing up in a household that practiced Buddhism, I've never quite known what it was like to live in a world without Buddhist philosophy. Of course, there was definitely a before and after in terms of me starting my own practice, but I don't quite have the experience of discovering Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And that's why I'm always interested in hearing from folks who find Buddhism in adulthood. What was their life like before? What is their life like now? So, this week, we asked you to share one word to describe your first year of Buddhist practice. The answers were really cool to see. The biggest responses were transformational, hopeful, and grateful. Some said it was challenging. Others felt alive and liberated. A few folks said it was anchoring, which struck me. Buddhism becomes the foundation for how we live our lives, and an anchor in the midst of its ups and downs. Today's guest, Dalen Height, recently started practicing SGI Nichiren Buddhism and found that it's empowered them to take full responsibility for their happiness. We discuss their first year of Buddhist practice and how it helped them to become courageous and live authentically.
So my name is Dalen Height. My pronouns are they, them. I currently live in Houston, Texas. I work in disability services on my college campus, and I'm 22 years old.
I'm really excited to hear your story because, you know, for anybody listening, you actually started your Buddhist practice like a little over a year ago. So you're kind of like fresh, you know, like just started practicing SGI Nichiren Buddhism pretty recently. So, yeah, I'm really excited to hear kind of your experience getting exposed to Buddhism and how it's impacted your life. But before we dig into like your Buddhist practice, I wanted to know just a little bit about like what your life was like before you encountered Buddhism.
When I was growing up, I grew up in rural Alberta, Canada, and it was an all right time. I grew up with my Nana and Papa before being switched into the care of my mother. And then during that, it was a very difficult time. So once I was switched back to my Nana and Papa's care, and that's my maternal grandparents, and we moved down here to Texas, I just was really in like a really fragile state of mind. I felt like I had no purpose. I really was struggling in all aspects of life. And, you know, switching from Canadian curriculum to one in Texas, you know, that was really difficult for me. My first year in school here, I had went into a private school and they have a separate curriculum from the Texas curriculum. So it was very difficult for me. I failed on my classes and I had went into a public middle school at that point because I was just begging my Nana and Papa to not have me go there. I also got bullied quite often. And that was a similar theme in my life, was getting bullied. What was also a similar theme was me not standing up or feeling empowered to stand up to my bullies. Mm. So once I got to middle school, it was pretty mellowed out, but I still was just so, so depressed. And my life was just so directionless. I think maybe in a few classes I did well, but the classes that made such an impact on me was like math and science. And I was not good at those classes. And because I wasn't empowered to stand up for myself and to stand up and advocate for my education, I just totally failed all those classes. And math in general as an academic has been a huge fear that I've had to really tackle this year.
Yeah, knowing this context of your academic background, I think is really, yeah, super significant. So in school, like, did you end up graduating high school? And then if you did, like, what happened after that?
When I was in high school, I just still was not doing good. I was still very, very depressed. My 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, I had to finish out in an alternative school, actually. I just felt so disempowered that the only way I could feel empowered was not doing my work, not listening to teachers, you know, talking back, stuff like that. And that was the only way that I felt like I had control in my life. During this time, I was significantly depressed. I had nothing going on other than just being labeled the bad kid. And so once I had went into the alternative school, I had made some really great mentors there, which had really significantly impacted how I felt about myself. But there still was something missing around that time. I finished out my 12th grade year online because I just took so long and I was like, I don't want to be here no more. I just want to get it done. But even getting it done was hard. Taking that first step was so hard. It scared me so much that I didn't even want to take it. And that first step was just to graduate. I had no clue what to do other than to graduate. So once I finally got that out of the window, I felt like a freedom, but it was like in a gilded cage type of freedom. Like I was like, I'm free, sort of, where can I go from here? And the only idea I had was to really go to different jobs until I was quote unquote happy. And none of them made me happy. Nothing made me happy. I was started to begin to be in a relationship with my now husband at the time boyfriend. And he made me happy, but I noticed I was seeking happiness in him rather than for me.
And I think like getting this labeling of like, oh, you're this kind of person, you're this kind of student, can really be, like you said, so disempowering. And like, well, I guess everybody says this is who I am, so.
I just let other people label me. I was like, if everybody says I'm a bad kid and everyone says I'm a bad student, that must be what I am.
Totally. I mean, when you're young too, like, and you're getting these kind of messages, it's, I can imagine, like, very challenging to even like consider that there's another option, or that you can be any other kind of way. And around that time, you encountered Buddhism. So could you tell me, like, what did your life look like at that moment, and why were you open to Buddhism?
So at that time that I had encountered Buddhism, I was so directionless. My relationship with my nana was suffering, and it was suffering because my relationship with my mom was non-existent. I didn't talk to her, I didn't want to, and it really hurt my nana naturally. I mean, that's her daughter, I don't blame her for being frustrated with me and my mother's relationship. And so me and my nana were just always coming to blows. I felt like my entire life, like I was like, you won't let me do this. I feel like I can't do this. You're the reason I'm unhappy. And so I remember telling my friend Lucky about this, and they had said, why do you place your happiness outside of yourself? And I was like, dang, that's crazy. I never thought of it like that. And I started taking that advice before I started chanting, because at this time they hadn't asked me to chant, but they were giving me advice in the form of Buddhist principles.
Yeah,
And
totally.
I had started to implement that advice, because I hate to say it and I hate to admit it, but I really did not think of my nana's humanity like that up until they said that. Because I think sometimes as when we're children and we have parents who say something, they mean it in a caring way, but they say it in a way that we don't agree with, we can forget about their humanity. And so I started really treating my nana with such kindness. I would tell her all the time that I loved her. I would hug her all the time. I would call her all the time. I'd try to hang out with her as much as I can to repair this relationship. And it felt like over the course of a few months, it totally like just changed. Like it felt like me and my nana had never had issues. She was starting to understand like why I felt the way towards my mother. And she also began to like really like sit down with me and be like, I understand why. And we started opening up to one another too. And it was such a profound change in my life. And a couple months later, that's when my friend had introduced me to chanting. And I remember they had sent me Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, and they were like, oh, just like try reading it. And I said it, and they were like, oh, you said it perfect. I was like, well, thank you. And that's how I really discovered Buddhism. But I at that time I hadn't connected with the community quite yet.
And so when you were chanting like those first few times, what did it feel like to chant, and like what things were you chanting about?
It felt amazing to chant. It really did feel like my life was opening up. It felt so like it really took my breath away to chant, because I could feel like these shifts in my life happening as I chanted. And if I remember correctly, like in the beginning, I really chanted just for understanding from my parents. I also chanted about the relationship with my mother. And during that time, my boyfriend and I, we were engaged at that time, so he was my fiance at that point. He was going through a lot of family turmoil, so that's what I chanted about too often. I really made these causes to chant for other people and chant for their happiness, because compassion is something that I have always had deep in my heart. So I was like, well, the most compassionate thing I can do at this point is to chant for other people.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Like when I first started chanting, I was like, these are all of my problems that I have to like figure out. Like I'm just going to chant about all the stuff that's causing me suffering. But our lives are so interconnected with other mm-hmm. people too. So when the people that we love are suffering, that can cause us suffering too, right? So it makes yes. sense that like, you know, in some ways, like, you know, chanting for other people's happiness and well-being is also chanting for our happiness. And mm-hmm. it helps us kind of like expand our life. As you're like really starting to kind of like chant and see like, you know, what is this Buddhism about? I know you weren't connected to your local community at first. So like, how did you end up getting connected? Because did you know any SGI Buddhists in Texas?
No, I had known none. And so at that point, I was interested in getting connected with the community. And Lucky had advised me to connect to the local SGI USA Center. And I was like, oh, gosh, I really hope that I have one. I hope that there's yeah. one in Houston.
Yeah.
And I had Googled it and I saw their phone number and mm-hmm. I literally just called and I left a message and the message was like, hi, I've been kind of chanting on my own and my friend from Nevada really wants me to get connected and I really want to get connected too. I don't really know how. Here's my phone number. Bye. Like,
wow.
And they called me back next week and I immediately got connected to who are now like my friends in Buddhism. And it was just amazing how quick that they did it and that I just took like a leap of faith, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's really courageous like to, yeah, reach out to a community like that you don't really, I mean, of course, you know someone who's practicing this Buddhism, but elsewhere, you know, so you don't know anybody locally to then call and like, okay, please someone, you know, I want to learn more. So when some of the folks in the community reached out to you, like, did you get to meet with them? Did you chant together? What happened?
So I got to meet with two women in my community and they were fantastic. And I got to meet with them at a local Starbucks and we were just talking about it. They asked what I knew about Buddhism. And I was mm-hmm. like, I don't really know anything except chanting. And I also, and they were like, they had told me such nice things that I've really never heard from people before. I was never used to being in a community or meeting community members who were so kind and gracious, and they were just so excited and they radiated this beautiful like light from them. And I was thinking, I was like, you know, it's so amazing to see just the type of like joy that they had within them. I remember leaving that first meeting thinking like, oh, I was like, wow, I really want this. And I remember thinking to myself when I got back in my car, I was like, I think my life is gonna change.
Wow. This is like this pivotal moment, it sounds like, of like, oh, okay, I can really practice this Buddhism mm-hmm. because now I have others, you know, that can help me like figure out how to start my practice. They can encourage me. So I know too that like after that initial meeting, I don't know whether you met more times, but that your first meeting was on New Year's Day.
Yes.
So maybe you can share like what that meeting was like. Were you nervous, excited?
It was electrifying. Like, and I didn't know at the time, but this was the first in-person meeting that they had held post COVID-19. So the
wow.
amount of people that were there, like it was a packed room. Like,
yeah.
And it was just so great. Like I could feel it in my chest when everybody was chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. Like it was profound. Like I will never forget that meeting.
Yeah.
Everybody was so kind. Everybody was like, oh, tell me more about you. Where are you from? Like, are you new? Like, and you know, because once you start going to Buddhist meetings more, you begin to recognize faces. So it was easier to recognize when somebody was new. And
yeah.
I got connected with so many people like immediately. I just loved it. And they showed like an amazing video from Daisaku Ikeda that really profoundly touched me.
Wow, were you nervous before you went?
I was a little nervous. I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh, like how many people are gonna be here? I don't really know anybody, but I was just trying really hard to be strong and be like, no, I'm gonna go experience this.
Oh wow. And yeah, you mentioned the video of, I think it was like a, piece of a lecture from Daisaku Ikeda that really struck you. So yeah, can you tell me about that and like what about the guidance really encouraged you?
So that video talked about how it's important to be courageous in this lifetime. And that particularly struck a note with me because I realized literally in that moment, wow, I am acting so cowardly. I was bouncing from job to job and I would always complain about the jobs, but I would never do anything to change my situation. And in that moment, I was thinking, you know, like if I don't want to work these jobs, what can I do? And it felt like in my heart, I've known that answer for so long. It was like, go to college. You know, you want to go to college. And I had immediately felt like this initial fear because I was like, well, I'm a bad student. You know, that's what I've always been, is a bad student. How can I possibly go to college? And I remember thinking, no, like Daisaku Ikeda said, you know, how do you know if you don't even try? And I was like, let me just try. Let me just go and try, like, and just try college.
From just like this one piece of encouragement, because you had been chanting now for a little while, and sounds like your life was really opening up, you were feeling more hope, and then seeing this piece of encouragement that's like really like you need to be courageous was the thing that like yeah broke something open. But I
Yes.
love that you said that like you already knew, like it was already inside you,
Yes,
right?
I knew in
But
my head, at that time before I had encountered Buddhism, I had applied for a school I was interested in, but my heart wasn't really in it. And I had actually got rejected. And I was like, well, you know, I guess I'm not going.
I'm a bad student. College isn't for me.
And so really feeling like this like extreme like courage in my heart, like in my spirit to like really just go out there and try. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna figure it out. I'm gonna go enroll for college. I'm just gonna figure it out. We'll see what happens. You know, if I'm a bad student, then I'll find out, like for real, because I haven't really tried yet.
This will be the first time, really, like in a new, like fresh departure. So, yeah, I mean, it really sounds like at this point, Buddhism was already kind of offering you a different way of thinking about your life. Are there any other things that, as you started practicing, maybe over the next couple of months, that like helped you shift the way that you approach your life?
Yes, at this time that I had decided to enroll in college, my relationship with my mother was still non-existent. I had basically, at this point, I was chanting, you know, really in my heart about it. And I was like, you know what? It's okay that I don't want a relationship with her right now. I'm not angry with her anymore. I've moved on. I've forgiven her. And I was like, you know, maybe one day we'll have a relationship, but right now I'm moving forward with my life. And what had actually happened was I had went to dinner with my Nana and Papa. They were like, hey, your mom's coming to visit us. Do you want to see her? And I had thought in my head, I was like, do I? But I was like, no, I said, no, I don't want to. And my Nana, for the first time, really respected that. She was like, you know what? That's okay. The option's still there, but I understand. That was already very like touching for me because it's always been like us butting heads before that. And so for her to be like, no, I understand. That really meant a lot to me. So then the week comes around that my mom's here and I couldn't even sleep. Like I couldn't sleep. It was really hard to eat. I was like, what is going on? I was like, I need to go talk to my mom. I don't know when I'm going to get to talk to her again. I don't know when she's coming back. I need to go talk to her. So I got in my car and I drove to my Nana's place without telling anybody. And I called my Nana and I was like, can you have my mom come out? And like, I think my Nana almost dropped the phone. And so my mom came out. So this is the first time that we physically seen each other at that point, like in 5 years. We hadn't spoken in like 4. And we sat in my car together and we just talked. And she had sincerely apologized, like earnestly from her heart. She let me know that she's going to school. She was doing all these things. It was just so earnest and from her heart. And we were like crying and hugging. And since then, we've maintained a very good relationship. And she has been doing amazing. And I'm just so proud of her. And, it felt so mystic to just have the to have that push in me, because I was like, I can't sit here. And it really felt like my body was like, no, you have to go talk to her, you need to go. And on the way that I was going to talk to her, I was actually chanting and I was like, I don't know what's gonna happen. So I'm just chanting at this point for best possible outcome. And it really became that, because our relationship has just blossomed since then. I'm actually going this summer up to see her. And these are things I never thought possible before I encountered Buddhism. From where I am now, looking back, my life has changed so significantly. And truly, the only thing that has changed in my life is, one, of course, me, but two, encountering Buddhism, because Buddhism helped me change into the person that I want to be, the person that I need to be in order to face these situations.
Wow. I think thinking about that moment where you were like, I'm not going to see her. I don't want to do it. But then, yeah, having the courage to go and do it, something in your life was like, okay, I can't miss this opportunity. Because, yeah, had you not had the courage to do that, you wouldn't have been able to have that great conversation and really connect.
It really felt like how I felt when I saw Desiku Keita's video about being courageous. And I was like, okay, I'm going to sign up for college. I was like, okay, I'm just going to go talk to my mom. I just chanted on the way there. I was like, well, let's just see what happens, and what I saw was that my mom changed, the same way that I changed. And I was like, we became these two people that now we are right for when we reconnect. And I really thank Buddhism for that. I became the person that when I saw my mom, we had a productive conversation. We were able to talk, and now I'm able to maintain a relationship with her.
Wow. I mean, yeah, relationships are always, between two people, and we each have our own kind of, human revolution or inner transformation to do, and that we can contribute. And I find with, my family relationships, especially when I was younger, like I just had the tendency to really like blame the other person,
It's just so easy sometimes.
Yeah,
It's just so
totally.
easy to like blame the other person and not take it onto yourself, to really look at yourself and to be like, what do I need to do? So it's about, okay, I'm directing this anger towards them. How can I transform this anger into something that will benefit me, into something that will show me and challenge me to become better?
Yeah, absolutely. We can bring like whatever that feeling is or whatever that tendency is to our chanting. Because I think about in my case, like feeling anger or frustration, as I chant about it, I can really see like, oh, my anger is coming from a place of care, but actually, like, I'm not behaving in a way that's exhibiting care and compassion, or they're not experiencing my frustration or criticism that way, right? So I have to chant to be like, ah, okay, this criticism is because I love them, but I'm not really showing them, in the way that they can feel. But it's only through, for me, chanting to be able to see my life really clearly, what kind of role I play in my family.
Absolutely. I feel like there's been so much clarity in my life now after encountering this Buddhism. Like it's just been very, very clear to me. And sometimes I'll still like now even sit down to chant and I'm like, I'm not really sure about this. And then immediately like it like becomes clear.
Oh, totally. Yeah, so you've got this like, wonderful kind of blossoming of your relationship with your mom, and you started school. I'd love to hear like what it's been like since you started school. Like, yeah, did you face any sort of like doubt about yourself as a student? Did you struggle at all, or was it like awesome from the beginning?
I had a lot of doubt when I had actually went to go register myself for college. I was trying to do it online and I was like, this is really difficult. So I called the advising office and they're like, oh, you should just come to the campus for help. And I had gotten in with an appointment and got my classes all settled. And the advisor had told me, you're really lucky because, and I chanted about it too when I had went up to the advisor. And the advisor had told me that you are very lucky because the deadline is actually tomorrow. And you wouldn't have been able to register for classes after that. And I was like, wow. I was like, that's so crazy. And so literally next week, the week after that, I started my classes and I was taking the typical amount of classes at that time. So that was about four. And I really loved it. I found out that I loved it. And I found out that I actually am a very good student. In my first semester, I had basically befriended a professor who had a reputation for being quite serious and stern. And I remember thinking to myself when I was chanting, I was like, no, I'm going to make an impression on this professor. And impression I did make because he had recommended me for honors because he also was an honors professor. And I was the only student that he's ever like directly recommended for honors. I was so surprised by that. I was like, me. But it really
Oh my
affirmed,
gosh.
a lot of stuff in me that I had never really known possible or any type of potential I didn't even know I had, and I started doing honors in my second semester, and it hasn't been easy, but it's been a challenge that I've been actively really love working towards. I've been doing so well in my honors college, and I'm so proud of it. I've never been able to accomplish things that I have through college. So I had gotten invited to do the honors project that I had done for one of my honors classes. Me and a few other students were chosen to present it at a state college and an out-of-state college too. And so I got to do that recently this year, and that was such a fulfilling experience. When I thought about it, I was like, wow, I earned this. I worked so hard. I worked so hard. I was like, if I want A's, I need to start acting like an A behavior. Like I need to get all my stuff done immediately. And I just was so proud of that honors project. I have never been able to do that before. And I had recently gotten awarded a scholarship for my third year because I'm getting my associates. And the scholarship is going to fully pay for my spring and my fall semester. And it's also going to fully pay for a study abroad in summer of 2025. And I was like, oh my God. I felt so proud of myself. I was like, oh my gosh. Like I've never been able to win something like that, but I also believe it's because I never applied myself until I found Buddhism. And Buddhism really made me encouraged to apply myself and to work so hard at what I wanted. And what I wanted was to be, not just a good student. I want to be a great student and to show the hard work I can do and show what I've done with my life and what I can do in this lifetime. Because I was like, I'm not going to waste no more time. If I want to work hard, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to achieve this, that, and the third,
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, congratulations. This is
Thank
so
you.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so inspiring, I think, to have the challenges that you had in terms of being a student and like the kind of way that you had been labeled to becoming somebody who really has the courage to like go for what they want and the confidence. Like, yeah, I can do it. Why not? Like, I'm gonna apply myself. In terms of like just your day-to-day life as a student, like, what is your Buddhist practice like?
As a student, I one of my goals was just to, really rock it out every semester and just to really work hard. And even though, in typical student fashion, it doesn't always look that way, but that's just the truth. Sometimes it doesn't look that way. But I can still work hard. And through my chanting, I didn't want to chant for good grades. I wanted to chant for the strength to get good grades. I need to chant for like the active effort in like doing in the strength to have the good grades. And that's what I've really applied to in my college. But what also has helped me is that now I have a leadership position in Honors College. And so I'm one of the, they're called emissaries, but I'm one of the Honors emissaries. So I, you know, a lot of students look to me for questions, especially when it comes to research projects and classes and stuff. And Buddhism has really given me the strength and confidence to be able to guide other people, to be able to be a friend to other people, to, you know, help others and be compassionate to what they're going through. Because, you know, intimately, I know that my struggles are their struggles, just as their fortune
Yeah.
is my fortune.
This is like, I mean, just like a night and day kind of like transformation of, it sounds like the way that you see yourself, you
Yes,
know,
it
like the,
feels that way.
yeah. I mean, I can totally, like, totally tell. Yeah, was there any like Buddhist concept or like pieces of writing that really encouraged you to yeah, like take the lead and see yourself as someone that can be this kind of like excelling student?
One of the mantras that the Buddhist community had last year was to be the protagonist of your life, and that has really had a profound impact on me. One of the quotes that I just absolutely love from Daisaku Ikeda, he had said, "Buddhism teaches us that we each write and perform the script of our own lives. No one else writes that script for us. When we write it, and we are the star who performs it." And I love that. Like, I never thought about it in that way, but when I look back and reflect back on my life, I'm like, wow, I really experienced so many things that made me feel like the sidelines in my own life. You know, whether it was letting people decide things for me or letting people decide, you know, who I was already when I already knew who I was, I already knew what I wanted to do, but it just was so comfortable and easy to let other people decide that for me. And, you know, to be the protagonist of my life now, what that means to me is to just take charge. You know, if this is my life, if I want to see me get this job or this opportunity, then I'm the one who can, you know, like Daisaku Ikeda says, write the script for it. I already have the tools and resources to do it. And one of them is chanting. And I'm going to sit down and chant, and I'm going to take the action that's needed so that I can be courageous in making that effort to get what I want for my life. Because at the end of the day, this is my life. And I don't want to sit around thinking anymore, like, what purpose does my life have? What direction am I going? And I know with chanting, I know what direction I'm going in now. I know what my purpose is and my mission is. And you know, your mission can change environment to environment, but I know in my college, I'm going to leave a lasting impact on my peers. I want to help incoming students. I want to make sure that everybody feels safe and like themselves and can be vulnerable and be a student, because my story of feeling like a bad student is not a singular one. There are so many students out there who feel like they're a bad student. They can't get this opportunity. They're too scared to apply to this school. And I want to be that person that they meet. And I'm just like, nope, I did it. So you can do it too.
Yeah, and it creates like so much having that kind of approach and sense of like self and identity and like giving really significant purpose to all of your struggles. Like that, I feel like for me is like so fulfilling, you know? Like, oh yeah, I went through all of these like really painful things and it wasn't for nothing. You know, now I can really encourage somebody that's going through the same thing and they feel like they can do it too, you know, because they see, oh wow, Dalen did this. Like, how on earth did they make this happen? But they did it. So I'm gonna, you know, do it too. I know that you've also like shared Buddhism with friends and family too. Like, yeah, tell me about that.
So by the time that I started chanting, my husband and I were engaged, and then a few months later we had gotten married. And so when I had really started getting involved in the practice, he soon followed after. At first I was not expecting him to, and then I was starting to shift into a mindset like, oh well, you know, Buddhism has helped me so much. I just want him to like see what it's like, what it's like. And then I really like sat down and chanted on those feelings, and I was like, you know what, the fact that he supports me is more than enough. And it felt like overnight, once I started chanting for that, he immediately took interest in the practice. I'm just so happy for him. He's like totally bloomed. Every time we talk to our Buddhist friends, they're always like, wow, he's like, he's so different now versus when he started chanting. And that makes me so joyous. Again, like his fortune is my fortune, and I'm so glad that we could go into our marriage with such amazing, like abundant joy for our each other, ourselves, and the practice. And I've been always talking about Buddhism to my friends. One of my friends recently has really, really gotten into it, and I'm just so happy for her. Like, she's just been really enjoying. I always talked about it like I was like proud to be Buddhist, and she was one of those friends I started talking to it about. And what's so funny, and she loves to tell everybody this, and I can only believe it's true at this point, but she had said that the first thing I said to her when we met last year in the fall was that I'm Buddhist. I didn't even tell her my name yet. And that is so funny to me because I'm like, no way. And now, and I'm like, you know what? I think I have done that to quite a few people. And that is just so funny to me.
Oh my gosh, here's the important thing you need to know about me. I'm
Yes.
Buddhist. Oh, also, my name is
Yes,
Daylin.
exactly. It was probably was exactly word for word that. Because it's
Oh
probably
my
some
gosh.
icebreaker we had in
Oh
class. It was I
yeah.
think it was like a fun fact about yourself. And I was like, fun fact, I'm Buddhist. And it's just been amazing. I've been introducing more friends to it. I think it's so important for, especially for youth, to really find something that they deeply connect with and have this foundation in their life. And I feel like Nichiren Buddhism has really given me that. So why wouldn't I share this with other youth that I know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, this kind of brings me to my next question. Like, reflecting back on where you were when you first started chanting, you went to your first meeting. Yeah, how has your life changed? How have you changed as a person, your outlook?
Overall, my confidence has been so much better. I used to think I was confident before Buddhism, but now I know what true, actual confidence looks like. I know where strength comes from in my life, and I know where courage comes from. And that's the main thing that has changed. I have worked so hard, to achieve these things I never thought possible before. I honestly don't know, like, where I would be without Nichiren Buddhism. I don't know what my life would look like. And I am so grateful for the practice because when I look back and I reflect, I'm like, wow, I really truly was suffering. I was just so depressed all the time. And it was really just surviving. It was about going day to day instead of enjoying life for what it is, because life is so precious. And I feel like I understand that now. And I like my life has totally changed. And the only thing I can attribute to it for real is Buddhism.
It's amazing, like when you really apply yourself to Buddhist practice, it's like your life all of a sudden goes into like hyperspeed, you know, like
Yes.
you are moving forward, you know, even if like maybe the direction might change. I feel like for me, it's the difference between, like you said, kind of just like making it through the day. You've got this short-sighted kind of like view of your life. Okay, I'm just like, what is today about? What is today about? Versus this kind of like longer term like direction. Where is my life going? What is the purpose of my life? How do I want to, you know,
Yes,
what kind of person do I want to be?
it was so difficult for me back then because I was at a point in my life where I was like, I don't know how I'm even going to get past 20. So I was like, I don't even know what 20 and above is going to look like. I was so deeply depressed. And I'm just so proud of the person that I've become because I'm like, now saying that I'm 22 sometimes it's crazy to me because I'm like, wow, like I am. That's crazy. Like, I'm like, yes, like I made it. And like I have so much more in front of me. And Buddhism has just like opened that up for me. I'm not even thinking about if I'm going to hit a certain age. I already know I am. I know that I'm going to go further than I've ever thought possible. And I've never had this kind of courage and this hope in myself before. But now it's like, no, I'm excited for life. I'm excited for every single day. I'm excited for every moment.
Wow. I know actually quite a few people in my life that share that, you know, now that we're like in our 20s and 30s, they're like, I wasn't ever thinking of, that I would be an adult. But like, I think many people experience that or like grow up feeling that way.
Yes. And I know a lot of youth do too. And I think that's why it's so important that they have something foundational in their life, like a foundational set of principles, like where does your strength come from? Where does your courage come from? And, you know, Nichiren Buddhism has taught me that it comes from me. Nichiren Daishonin had written that happiness is attainable in this lifetime. So happiness can just come from me. You know, in this lifetime, I can be happy. And I think having that courage to try to be that protagonist in your life, like I think so many youth can just really benefit from, you know, standing up and feeling that courage in their heart, knowing that this is their life. You know, they are the protagonist of their life.
And now that you have this kind of view of your life and you can have this long-term vision, what dreams do you have?
I've been living in Texas at this point for about, I want to say like, oh my gosh, it's been like 13 years or something like that. In my spirit of wanting to just try, one of my dreams is to go to school outside of Texas. And so I'm not going to limit myself to what school or where. I just know the action I'm going to take is to apply everywhere, including out of country. And then what I'm specifically chanting for is not to get into a certain school, but what I'm chanting for is the school that has a Buddhist community that I can help grow and is the one who is going to accept me 100% tuition free. At this point, my actions are, you know, working hard in school, applying to all these schools. And I know chanting very earnestly about that, you know, whichever school is meant to accept me, wherever I am meant to be, that's where I'm going to go. And so that's one of my dreams. Another one has been, you know, just fostering a beautiful marriage with my husband. We're both young. So, you know, I think it's really important that we are young individuals and then we are young together. And then we are young, like as a married couple. And I feel like, you know, fostering this beautiful relationship with him so that when we do get to a point where we have like a home and stuff like that, that we can build like our home for world peace. And I really want that because I'm like, I can't wait to host Buddhist community meetings in here. I can't wait for this to be a safe space. And so those are my two big dreams right now. I know chanting for the best possible outcome and then, you know, applying the action so I can see what happens, you know, and I've been shown time and time again that this Buddhism has my back. And I think that in a time where many youth can feel like they can't trust anybody, they can trust Namiho Renge Kyo. And I think that I think that's so important.
I really love that. So to kind of like close out, I'm wondering just what piece of advice you might have for somebody who wants to start practicing and maybe wants to like have that kind of like momentum and ability to really like stand up.
I think sometimes what can prevent people from starting to try something is the fear, like, oh, what if it doesn't work out? And the advice that I would have for somebody who wants to start practicing this Nichiren Buddhism is just take that first step of really trying, you know, sitting down, chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo and chanting for what's in your heart, because you never know until you try. I didn't know until I tried. And so all I can really part with is just try. There's no harm in trying, you know, it's not like you can fail Buddhism. And, you know, like as somebody who in life often felt like I failed, you know, I was nervous about that, but there's no failing in this Buddhism. There's only challenges that we can overcome. And if one of your challenges is to courageously try something, this can be your chance. This can be your first opportunity to really show yourself, you know, like, let me just try. Let me try this Buddhism and see what happens.
I was amazed to see how quickly Dalen changed the narrative about themselves and their life. But maybe I shouldn't be. Buddhism teaches us that we already have everything we need to become happy and go for our dreams. But of course, it's more than just positive thinking. The way we actually embody this life philosophy is through chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo to tap into our limitless courage, wisdom, and compassion. If you're interested in connecting with a local Buddhist community and starting your practice just like Dalen, you can reach out to us at connect@buddhability.org. We'll help you get connected with the community in your area. For next week's episode, we want to know one thing you feel hopeful about. Until next time, thanks for listening.